It is another Saturday morning in CCU land when we talk cars, more specifically problems with yours, your car, your truck, your van. If you have any kind of an issue with your vehicle and you think you need to bring it in for service, but you might want to know ahead of time what could be ailing, well, at least what you'll be facing. Why don't you give Nick Stoffel a call or a text? Either way, 651-461-9226. Of course, Nick is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive. We are awaiting a connection with him to help us out this morning. But by all means, let's hear your question earlier rather than later, and I'll tell you why. Nick takes his leave about 7:45 when we bring in Ted Farrell from Haskell's with his wine chat. Well, I tell you what we'll do. We're gonna get Nick on the horn here, I think, because sometimes computers, you know, they got a mind of their own. But in the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Our time goes by so quickly that that we hate to run out of time to answer your questions. So let's hear. Give us a call. Whatever your car care question is, Nick, are you on the line?
I am, sir. Sorry about that little computer problems this morning, so we're calling in.
Well, that's okay. I'm glad we connected. I assume you guys are busy every week. And the last week, I'm sure, since we've talked, no exception, right?
Yeah, no, we're, you know, it's amazing. You know, we have great customers, a great staff, as you know, and I think they're probably still a week and a half, 2 weeks behind at the moment, but which is a little worrisome because when the weather does turn, as we know, and it will, we're going to have to really kind of step it up another gear and we'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, you always do. In the meantime, we welcome our listeners' questions before you take your leave today. Interesting question via text that just came in. You can help me with this one. How much can you tow with a V8 and a 331 axle, and is it okay to tow with that? What is that texture asking you?
I think what they're referring to the engine size, which is a V8, and the 331 axle is the ratio of the gearing of the axle to the back of the vehicle. And, you know, the best answer to that is if you look in the door jamb of the vehicle, it's going to have a placard that'll tell you the capacity of the towing of the vehicle. And I wouldn't really vary from that at all. To be quite honest, I kind of struggle with, I think some of them are too high, and some of the smaller SUVs or crossovers that folks drive will have a towing capacity on there that I sometimes wonder is really okay, especially if you have a novice trying to tow a vehicle. So if you're going to tow a vehicle, make sure you know what you're doing for sure. Make sure you follow the instructions, look at the placard as far as the weight capacity, and that's where I would start.
Yeah, very good. Again, 651-461-9226. Texter wants to know, can you clean a cabin filter versus always changing it?
Well, yes, you can clean that debris that you can see from it, but the particles, the small particles in the air, are the ones you don't see, and that's when they kind of change that from a white to a dingy off color, I would call it, and those you can't clean out. So no, you can't really clean it as a beneficiary, you know, to benefit you, but you can clean the debris out so air will flow better, if that makes any sense.
Are you, I was seeing an earlier text about, oh boy, you've seen this. We've experienced it in our family. Mice in the engine compartment. What kind of damage have you seen these critters do?
Well, you have some firsthand experience there.
Yes, even a squirrel at one year, yeah.
No, you know, in our state, especially with the four seasons, as we know, the critters will make their way throughout our garages, through our yards, into our vehicles where it's a warm place to make a nest, eat wiring, they'll eat duct work to get into a warm place. This time of the year, it's not a bad idea to open the hood, take a look around if something looks different. You see a collection of some fibers or some leaves or something that doesn't make sense. Maybe investigate further or take it in, have them investigate, because the last you want is those animals making a home there where that nesting could really create some expensive problems for you.
Now, we talk with friends and relatives about this very issue that's happened to them as well. Is there anything you can put in the engine compartment, You know, we talk about people who store boats or maybe classic cars, and they, and I've used in various situations, not classic cars or boats, but mouse magic. It's called mouse magic, these little packets of peppermint or spearmint smelling stuff. I mean, I've often thought about that in a vehicle, but I was always concerned about fires. What do you recommend in that case?
Well, absolutely. I don't think I would put anything flammable near the engine, especially the exhaust, because it does get so hot that it could create an issue there. But, you know, if you look around, there's some products, you know, you hear about dryer sheets, and there's some things that you can probably put maybe in the glove box or in some other areas to help maybe minimize that potential. But, yeah, I would agree. I would be very careful putting anything underneath the hood of the vehicle because you don't want to run that risk of having fire.
Yeah. 651-461-9226. Your question for ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. What range of, I don't know if you can even comment on this, but having been in the business for a long time, is there... what range of years, question is, does Ford have trouble with spark plug removal? Have you heard of that specific manufacturer?
Yes, I have. It's like the early 2000s. There's a vintage of some of those engines where those spark plugs become seized in the cylinder head. And what it is that the material of the head, the threaded area, and the material of the spark plug where they come together corrode and it gets stuck in place. So you have to be very careful trying to remove those. The risk is if you're trying to remove it, you break the spark plug. If any part of that spark plug falls down into the cylinder, now you have another set of problems on your hands. We're trying to get that cleaned out because if you don't, that will ruin the engine. So if you have such a vehicle and you have concerns, take to somebody who knows what they're doing, has done it 1,000 times. And we have a few guys at the shop that have and do. But it's a risk. You got to be very careful proceeding with that because you don't want to run into the potential damage of the engine or having to remove that cylinder head to remove the debris.
Well, these days, some manufacturers, I assume, I haven't tried something like that in years, but in some cases, it's really difficult to even find the spark plugs, let alone have one of your technicians replace them. I mean, certain vehicles.
Well, it is more and more common. Some of the reasons is that when we open the hood, they want to look appealing, but also noise dampening. You know, we want to keep the noise in the compartment where as a minimal where we're sitting and driving. So there's a lot of plastic, a lot of noise dampening pieces in there that help quiet things up, which make it harder to find. Even if you're looking for the dipstick or the air filter, try to find the battery in some cases. You know, they've done these designs in these vehicles. You open the hood, it's just a beautiful thing to look at. But to work on it sometimes can be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, for sure. I know we're going to take a break here. I was looking at a text from somebody as far as critters in a vehicle in your engine compartment. Listener says, I was a technician. One time our shop had a woodchuck in a fender well of a car, and boy, was he mad. that just came in a minute or so ago. Let's do this. Take a break. By the way, any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. Nick will be with us till about 7:45 this morning. Right now in the Twin Cities, we dropped 2 degrees in the last hour. We're at 37 right now, heading for 59. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, as usual, folks that maybe would like to get in touch with you guys, they need some help. How do we find Lloyd's?
Yes, sir. So if you have a question or need some advice before you take your car in for service or repair, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And the weather looks like it might be decent this week, so if you want to swing by and say hi, we're at 982 Grand, corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us about 7:45 or so this morning. In the meantime, we'd love to hear any kind of a car care question you might have this morning, 651-461-9226. Let's grab some phone calls. Nick Barry, first up, you're calling from St. Louis Park. Barry, thanks for calling. You're on CCO.
Hey, good morning. I got a street scratcher. I got a 21 GMC Yukon And anytime I hit a jarring bump on the road, my sound cuts off on my radio, Bluetooth, Sirius XM, all of it cuts out, and there's nothing that will that I can do to bring it back. Plus, there's a little chirping that goes on occasionally from the area of the console.
Well, that's a strange one. My first thought is a connection somewhere, obviously. I'm thinking that there's a bulkhead connector, maybe it's a little bit of corrosion or moisture got in there. Something's a little bit loose. The most difficult thing with those types of problems is, you know, it's kind of a needle in the haystack, we'll say, and you got to pull some of the dash in apart or cowling apart to get to some of that wiring. You know, you remove it, you inspect for any corrosion, any moisture condensation, clean it up, reinstall it, and then you got to take it and drive it again. The hard part is that takes time, which is going to cost some money. And when you take it in, they might say, hey, we've got 2 or 3, 4 hours into this, and we don't know what the result's going to be. And that's frustrating, but sometimes, unfortunately, that's kind of the process it takes. You know, it is possible there's something with the control head, but the fact that it's over a bump makes me think something's shaking, so something's a little bit loose. So, unfortunately, you're probably going to have trial and error, as we would call it, and just start going through some of those connectors, some of those connections, you know, at the bulkhead or at the back of that multimedia unit there, and just hope that you find a loose wire and go forward from there.
Yeah, it's going to take some detective work for sure. Thanks, Barry. Tom is on the horn calling in from North Branch this morning. Thanks for waiting, Tom. What is your question?
Yeah, see, I got a question about the electronic oil, you know, 85% life left and all that. What how are they basing that on time, mileage, or, you know, contamination, or what? What is that computer picking up to give me the life of that oil expectancy? Do you have any idea what they go by?
I don't know facts. Well, I've heard or read that a lot of it is based on use, type of use, like you said, time, mileage. Obviously, there's not a little guy in there testing the oil that doesn't know the condition of it. I think it's a good guideline. However, I've seen them where they'll say that somebody has 50% of oil life left, and it's been a lot longer and more miles than I'd like to see. So I think it's a nice fail-safe, to be honest. However, as always, and you're going to hear me repeat this a million times, on the conventional oil, which if it has that system, it likely is a synthetic oil, likely a 0W20, 5,000 miles is my recommendation. And as we've heard many times, based on what we see every day, the wear, the tear, the timing components, having some issues due to the oil getting sludgy, creating carbon. So I would use that as a guide. However, I would kind of use my number as 5,000 miles.
Yeah. I like to keep a little notebook in the car because of my short-term memory. I really would, you know, when I bring it into Lloyd's to get an oil change, I'd rather have it in a notebook than on my windshield. You know, I guess that's just me. Question. Good morning. Texter says, is 91 octane the same as premium? I would say yes. In fact, what do you say?
I would agree, yes. And the premium, you know, there's, when you get to the pump, there's unleaded, and there's, you know, they used to have, remember, Amoco had silver and gold. There's a lot of different descriptions, but typically premium is 91 octane. So, yeah, I would say yes.
And I find a 91 octane when I'm filling up for small, and you know, lawnmowers, snowblowers. I only use oxygenated fuel, and it ends up to be 91 premium. And it works. In fact, that's what I'm reading. That's what you should use in small engines. Have you heard the same?
Absolutely. I think what it is that you get the ethanol, and that can dry out some of the rubber components in those little carburetors and some of those things in those small engines that we don't have on our vehicles that we're driving, which are fuel injected. So it's a different design. A lot of the small engines, lawnmowers, snowblowers, will say right on the cap and the manual, only use non-ethanol fuel. So that's, you're correct. That's usually what the 91 is. Not all 91 is non-ethanol. You have to look at when you're at the pump because it'll have another decal that says non-ethanol 91.
That's right. We're going to have a look at weather here in a couple of minutes. What do you know about the effectiveness, Texter says, about washable air filters? We were talking about cabin filters. But, yeah, I've never used one of those. I've been thinking about it. What have you heard, anything positive or negative about them?
What I've read is that they work very well. However, you have to remember to wash them. And that's and they're more expensive. So, you know, the truth is, do they work? I believe they do, but then you have the oiling kit, the process procedure. It takes a lot more time than just opening the cover and replacing it. So if you're the type of person that is willing to take the time, by all means, I think it's a good product and have at it. What we often see is that people have them in their cars and we see them and they're full of so much stuff because they haven't washed them. They don't know where the kit is to clean them. And then we end up replacing them with the standard air filter.
Yeah. Gotcha. Tell you what, let's do. Let's grab a phone call before we have a look at weather. Kelly is calling in from South St. Paul this morning. Kelly, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I actually have a comment on car storage. I've been storing street cars and race cars for 50 years, and we really call it long-term parking since it's only from fall till spring. But the thing I've always done is I change the oil, then drive the car until it's really warmed up and fully hot. Then I stop at the nearest gas station and fill the tank, bring the car home, and park it, and never start it all winter. Just leave it set. If the best thing is to put a battery maintainer on it, as we talked about, or if you don't have a battery maintainer, disconnect the battery and once or twice during the winter put a battery charger on it. If the car's being parked someplace there are rodents, the simple best thing I've found is Irish Spring soap. I take a bar of Irish Spring soap and cut it in 8 pieces. Put 2 in the passenger compartment and 2 under the hood. And the other 4 I distribute under the car if it's going to be stored somewhere there are rodents. And doing those things, I've never had trouble starting a car or having any problems in spring. And incidentally, I believe in using oxygenated gas because the number one problem in all engines is water in the fuel system. And the ethanol absorbs that and carries it through and out. And I'm hearing that even marine dealers and applications and small engines, those engines are okay with oxygenated fuel. That's an old wives' tale that you're not supposed to use oxygenated fuel in small engines.
Okay, well, I tell you what, I know we're up against the clock a little bit, but how about a quick comment from you, Nick?
No, I think 50 years of experience says a lot. I agree with. Yeah. I hope everybody wrote that down because storing your vehicle, I mean, everybody has their twist and, you know, and their own opinions, yeah. And that's great. But I think for the most part, Kelly's right on there. I think you fill the tank, get everything, you know, chip shape. I like the Irish Spring idea. I like the battery tender. So I would, for the most part, I would agree. You know, with the ethanated fuel in the small engines, I would always say look at the owner's manual. You know, everybody has their opinions, and I don't have a problem with that. But make sure you do what's best for you and your comfort.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, read the manual. Okay. All right, very good. Great call. All right, we're going to take a quick break for that forecast, and Nick will be with us, as I said, close to 7:45 this morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And again, good morning. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Boy, bunch of texts, Nick, and whatever we can't get to today, let's, what do you say, we save these. We'll open up the show next week with those so we can get some answers here for our listeners. Here's one. If I open any door on my 2012 Jeep Liberty, I hear 3 or 4 clicking sounds under my dash. Could that be the vent door actuator between hot and cold, do you think?
They will make a clicking type noise. I'm not sure when you open the door if that's what you're hearing. It might be some other relays to do with like the lighting or something else. If you're trying to control the HVAC system, absolutely. You know, if you're trying to go from hot to cold or vent to floor or something like that, or even the temperature and you hear it clicking, that'd be a telltale sign that one of those motors is, the gears are stripped. And you want to get that looked at because the last thing you want is have it stuck on cold because when the temperature does change, you're going to want the heat in your car.
Okay. Well, here's a big one for you. 2019 Toyota Sienna, cruise control and all of the safety features have failed. What do you think the cause of that is?
That's a tough one. I would get that in. If all the safety features have failed, you need to get that in. Someone needs to scan the computer, retrieve those codes, You know, I'm not sure, depending what the what direction they lead us in, we'll go to that area, do some testing with the wiring and components and the modules. But that would be the first thing, get it in, have someone scan it and see what's, you know, what the first set of information tells them.
Nick, this next tech doesn't say a manufacturer, but it was told, the texture says, the rack and pinion in my 2008 minivan needs to be replaced, but I have not noticed any problems, and the power steering fluid doesn't go down. Is there, you think there's any problem just monitoring the fluid rather than replacing the rack and pinion?
Well, the rack and pinion can fail because of a leak. However, if their concern is that the gearing in there has become worn, so there's excessive play, that might be the issue. So, you know, maybe ask a few more questions saying, you know, what is wrong with the rack and pinion? If it's a leak, how come I'm not seeing the fluid go low? And that's a fair question. But they say, well, because the inner tie rod end or where the inner tie rod end goes with the shaft, that has become loose and worn. That's a different concern. That becomes more of a mechanical issue where maybe they're worried about failure.
Okay. Coolant replacement question. Is that in time or miles? And can it be accurately tested, coolant?
I would say yes to all of those. I would say mileage. And if you don't put very many miles on the vehicle, time, you know. And then there are different ways of testing the coolant that can be, you know, measured for, you know, effectiveness, how what the protection level is. Also, a visual inspection, if it's getting discolored, mind you that a lot of them are different colors, so make sure you know what kind of coolant's in your vehicle. But it, with age and time, a lot of times it can become discolored, full of different contaminants from the vehicle, from the atmosphere. So yes to all of his questions or her questions.
Okay. Now, we've got to get this one solved. The 2017 Silverado, the radio keeps scanning radio stations randomly. We can't have that.
No, we want it to be stuck on 830.
We got to solder it on 830. What do you think?
You know, that is likely within the unit itself. You know, you can check the tabs on the buttons, make sure something's not stuck. You know, it seems kind of petty, but that does happen. But short of that, something internal to the radio, it's not able to follow instructions per se where it should stop and stay until you hit the button again. So I would tell that listener, if you can take those buttons, make sure that it's not stuck, depressed, make sure no, you know, sticky fingers, anything got caught up on there. And if that's not the case, it's likely going to need that whole radio unit replaced.
Yeah. Good morning. Love the show. Thank you. How does one become an auto mechanic? Is there schooling involved or is it on-the-job training? I don't think we've ever had that question before.
It is a good question. And I would say, like most trades, yes, there is schooling. And I think it is a requirement just to get you the basic knowledge. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of different areas of the vehicle. There's some wonderful schools in our area here. So I would inquire with them. You know, there's a lot of programs. They even start, you know, fall, winter, you know, they do, you know, maybe even different from there, even some night school options. But most of them are a two-year program. You go through the two-year program, and then you're, you know, you have the education, but then comes the training. And honestly, it's a lifelong process. You know, I mean, cars keep evolving and changing, all makes, all models, different technologies that we see. So once you're done with school, you have a good base to start with. But then that's when the real fun starts, where over the next career, you'll keep learning stuff as you go.
And we've talked about this for years, but it is a great career, is it not? I mean, you've been in the business a long time. And all these years, things, like you said, have changed. But by golly, it's a great career.
No, it really is. And, you know, the wages have gotten a lot better. You know, as people say, cost more to get your car fixed. Well, it's also fair to say that the people that are well-educated and really smart are getting paid, compensated fairly to fix these cars. And the technology has changed. You know, the term grease monkey is kind of a thing of, you know, years ago. You know, we don't, you know, we still get dirty, obviously, but it's not like it was. You know, there's a lot more computerized items, a lot more thinking, a lot more technology, and it's fun. You know, the things keep changing, and, you know, we'll see what the future holds.
And you guys, I mean, you get people coming in asking for jobs? I mean, and we've talked again about this because you guys do look for mechanics from time to time. What is it like right now?
I think it's getting better. You know, a couple of years ago, you know, there still is a shortage. I think there's more people retiring than getting into most of the trades, quite honestly. You know, you try to hire, you know, electrician, plumber, you know, whatever it may be.
And that's true.
I think people are realizing that you can make a good wage very minimal debt. You know, the schooling debt is a fraction of what it is before your degree. So if you're more the think with your hands type of person, I would look into the trades. You know, I would push you towards the automotive, but you know, if you want to be electrician, plumber, pipe fitter, whatever it might be, I think there's a lot of great fields out there for those of us that like to think with our hands.
Absolutely. Well, those that may have problems with their vehicle but want to get to Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. As always, you can feel free to give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul along Grand Avenue, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. And now, as always, Danny, do check out the website, lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. And, Nick, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Let's talk next Saturday.
Sounds like a deal.
Good deal. Next offer from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.